You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire is starting a new segment, Politics with Marnie Dunlop for Te Ao Māori News. We'll be catching up on the big political issues of the week and going on in the House from a Māori perspective. I have Marnie on the line now. How are you today?
Kia ora, I'm good, Kaden. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And I want to start today by asking about the new Te Tai Tokoro Party. Could you talk about what's happening there?
Yeah, for sure. So earlier this week, on Monday, I think it was, Maria Meno Kapakingi, who was unlawfully expelled by Te Pāti Māori last year, and, you know, the High Court ruled earlier this year that she should be reinstated into the party, but there was an unknown there whether or not she was going to go back into the party. So there were attempts, I think, between the two parties to have that conversation around what that could look like. And then on Monday, it was the hui with Julian Wilcox that originally broke the story around Maria Meno starting her new party, Te Tai Tokoro Party, and then a later media stand-up on Tuesday morning. And so what this really solidified was that she wasn't going to go back into Te Pāti Māori, and then firming that up, that she was going to be leaving and starting her own. And, you know, whether in terms of other candidates potentially who could represent that party, you know, yet to be potentially announced and further policy announcements. But she had made her stance really clear earlier that week. But obviously with her exit of Te Pāti Māori and the potential Te Tai Tokoro candidate for the party in the election coming up, left the door open for potential other candidates to come through with Te Pāti Māori. And so the word on the grapevine, or the kumara vine, as we like to say, is that Hone Harawira, who is a very well-known name, not only up north but in politics, is potentially putting his name into the ring. And I spoke to Rawiri Waititi from Te Pāti Māori on Tuesday, you know, asking him whether or not he could confirm that. And quote, he said, nor could confirm nor deny whether or not that would be the case, and that there are actually three people, people's quite prominent names on the table of whether or not they would be putting themselves forward for the party. And so, yeah, that's been kind of circulating a lot, especially on the tiles here at Parliament, on whether or not Hone Harawira is making a political comeback. But that decision will be made, I guess, in the coming days, even maybe next week, around who that candidate will be, which will make this a Te Tokoro race for that electorate quite really interesting. Because who else is up there? We've got Willow Jean Prime for the Labour Party, Huhana Linden for the Green Party, who is very grassroots, on the ground, very visible, has a great reputation in the north. And then we have Maria Meno Kapakingi and Hone Harawira. So I'm looking forward, potentially, if Hone does get the candidacy, what those debates would look like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a very exciting race. Could you speak to more what the response has been to the formation of this new party from Te Pāti Māori, but also other parties and maybe even community groups and organisations as well?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Te Pāti Māori were quite clear in their lines to the media when that announcement came out. You know, they put a statement out pretty soon after. They were obviously aware before it was made public that was going to happen. And they said, you know, from their side, they tried to have talks and have, quote, I would use line, repatriate her into the party. But, you know, I understand that behind the scenes there were some ultimatums given by Maria Meno, you know, as to what it could look like if she was to go back into the party, and those talks didn't progress. So, you know, the Pāti Māori were very, were just like, yep, good on Maria Meno, you know, we wish her well, and then kind of left it there. And then the headlines kind of switched quite quickly to who could be potentially standing in for her. But in terms of how it's been received, I mean, you know, all of those candidates I've mentioned before, and even the potential candidates for Te Pāti Māori, have very, you know, very good standing within Te Tai Tokoro. And obviously behind Maria Meno Kapakingi is her whānau, Iru, and her other children, who are very active in the north as well. And so, you know, as Māori, we hold a lot of relationships and in the north especially. So it's been interesting to see kind of how it plays out. But I think in terms of where people's loyalty lies, and when we'll see when people are getting into the polls making sure that we're getting people out and engaged in the election, and also getting enrolled to vote.
And I want to also ask about a big piece of legislation that passed first reading this week. What's the Conservation Amendment Bill, and why is the opposition pushing back against it?
Yeah, so the Conservation Amendment Bill, which is under is under Tama Pōtaka, you know, the Conservation Act or Bill has been quite. It's quite dense. There's as much legislation as you well know, and he's calling it, you know, the most significant reform of conservation legislation in about 40 years, and it aims to modernise the management of conservation land by streamlining concession processes, and which sounds a bit confusing, but reducing what the government describes as red tape and enabling, you know, the greater economic activity and tourism opportunities on public conservation land. And obviously, when it comes to conservation, there's a lot of intersect with iwi and with hapū. And so Ngāi Tahu came out quite strong, and, you know, particularly Justin Sepa from the kaiwhakahaere of the Runanga there, warning that the reforms could undermine treaty settlements and force some iwi back into negotiations over the rights in which they thought were settled. And so, you know, again, this is kind of a trend we've seen, and obviously the treaty clause review proposed a bill that's been crafted by Goldsmith is kind of part of how they want to make how treaty is in legislation make it clearer. Although the Conservation Act isn't part of that review, but it kind of sits in its own. But it's been very, there's been a lot of backlash in terms of it kind of being a bit of an overriding, and that it makes the significant changes and demonstrates that upholding the treaty for the government is an afterthought, and that the effective Section 4 of the Conservation Act, which really that includes a lot of what we know about how the treaty is enacted within the Conservation Act, you know, is going to be watered down, you know, according to a lot of the iwi leaders. So that's passed its first reading. It will go to select committee, so we'll know more about what people's responses are to that particular bill.
And we're running out of time, unfortunately, but I do just want to finish by asking about the submissions that were made as part of the Manawahine inquiry this week. Can you speak to those submissions?
Yeah, there's been some pretty incredible and powerful submissions within the hearings in Wellington. There were some up north last week, and this is part of a massive hearing that started many years ago when the initial claim was made, but that's in front of the tribunal at the moment. And so we heard from Tori Whānau earlier in the week about, you know, a lot of abuse that she received as mayor of Wellington, and how essentially she couldn't live in Aotearoa as a result of that particular harassment. Also heard from a very prominent Māori business leader, Tracy Hopapa, who said that, you know, Māori women continue to face institutional racism and intimidation across leadership spaces. And this morning, I was listening before to Tamitha Paul, Wellington Electorate MP and Green MP, and she... And what's been really notable is the emotion in a lot of the voices and a lot of the submissions of these wahine, who we see, you know, in the media and in public, these very strong and incredible, powerful wahine Māori, but really having to share the experiences in which they have and the level of vitriol and abuse that they're experiencing. And so those have been really powerful submissions. But another key thing around those is around what the solutions could be. And obviously as part of the report that the tribunal will be collating is around what those particular solutions could look like around systemic changes in order, you know, so that wahine Māori don't have to experience this sort of harassment and abuse that so many of us do.
Kia ora. Thank you for your time today, Mani. That was Politics with Mani Dunlop for Te Ao Māori News.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.